I'm going to say over what I heard from Moran HaRav Soloveitchik Zatzal many, many years ago. And the ideas that I will be mentioning, I heard from him a number of times on different occasions. He mentioned that for several hundred years in Eastern Europe, the Shabbos of Parshas Mishpatim was called the Shabbos of the Chevra Shas. Chevra Shas were a group of people, Balabatim, who got together on an ongoing basis to learn the Masechtas of Shas, and they would actually complete it every number of years. And generally, when it came to Parshas Mishpatim, they would have a massive mesiba. They would have a massive get-together where they would celebrate the fact that they finished one mesechta, another mesechta, a third mesechta, v'chulu v'chulu. And somehow, it was done dafka and Parshas Mishpatim. So Rav Soloveitchik was wondering what the connection is to Parshas Mishpatim. Why is it that this Parsha was chosen more than any other Parsha in Chumash? There are many Parshas in Chumash that certainly describe and discuss different aspects of Torah Shebaal Peh. We've often mentioned that you have three Parshas in Chumash that have many, many mitzvahs and many, many mesechtas associated with them, namely Mishpatim, which has in it not just the three babas, Baba Kama, Baba Tzia, Baba Basra, but other mesechtas as well. But then we have two other Parshas where you also have a rather, what seems to be, Parshas that are saturated with mitzvahs. The Parsha of Kedoshim, many, many mitzvahs in Kedoshim. Many lavim that are mentioned in Kedoshim. And then you also have the Parsha of Kisetze. And there are many, many mesechtas associated with all of these three Parshas. So he asked, why is it that Dafka, the Parsha of Mishpatim, has in it a connection to somehow the Chevra Shas, and they would have their annual dinner, and they would finish mesechtas one after the next. So obviously they read Torah Shebichsav on Shabbos morning, and we know the Gemara says in Kol Kisveh, the Gemara in Shabbos points out that they devoted the Shabbos afternoon to the study of Torah Shebaal Peh. After Mincha on Shabbos, they recited Sefer Tehillim. You probably, I'm sure, have seen Ashkenazic Sidurim, where you have after Mincha many, many prokim of Sefer Tehillim. The reason for that is because there's a Chazal, a Masorah that we have, the Moshe Rabbeinu died on Shabbos afternoon. The Gemara discusses in Masechta Shabbos the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. He died on Shabbos afternoon. And the Shulchan Aruch says, Chacham Shemes, Beis Midrash Batel. When a Chacham dies, his Beis Medrash is literally rendered null and void. And those normally who would ordinarily study, they say Tehillim. And many, many members of Klal Yisrael have this practice, have this minog. It's mentioned actually in Shulchan Aruch HaRachayim. There's an entire simin that's devoted to this. And the Mishnah Berurah there talks about it as well. In Reish Tzadik Beis, Sif Beis, the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkot and Vav mentioned this practice. So Rav Soloveitchik said there was a Masorah as well, that when young men started learning Gemara, they start learning usually in fifth grade, perhaps some in fourth grade, maybe some in sixth grade, seventh grade. What usually do they study? What tractates, what mesechtas are generally learned? So probably the most favorite perek is Ilim Metzias. I imagine some of you also may have encountered Ilim Metzias. I suspect that since the fifth grade, I have not seen Ilim Metzias. But in the fifth grade, Ilim Metzias is a very popular perek. The machlokes with the Yesh Shalom Midas, Havi Yeyush, Lo Havi Yeyush, and all the kashas and tirutzim back and forth, and that machlokes between Abaye v'Rava. But certainly the tradition was to study Dafka Seder Nezikin. The Gemara says in Baal Basra, Rav Soloveitchik referred to this Gemara, Harotze Sheyachkim Yasok B'Nezikin. One wants to become a Talmud Chacham, you should be Isaac Dafka in the Masechtas of Nezikin. There's no greater enterprise greater than Seder and Nezikin. And our Soloveitchik said, as a very young child, he studied the following prokim. He learned the Elamitzias. He learned Shnayim Rechz and Metalis, the first parak in Baba Metzia. He learned Meruba, the seventh parak in Baba Kama. Why is that? I think I mentioned to you already a number of times a conversation that our Soloveitchik had with his cousin, Hagoyna Moshe Feinstein Zatzal. And in that conversation, this was the issue that was discussed. Why is it that young children generally begin to study Seder Nezikin? I would say the preponderant majority of the world studies Elam Metzias, or the other program that I just mentioned that are connected to Nezikin. Perhaps things have changed today somewhat. I don't know. But that was the classical, traditional, Masoretic kind of approach. So Rasul Eshu thought the reason was the following. This is what he told his cousin, Hagoyna Moshe Feinstein Zatzal. Nezikin has a certain kind of strength. Nezikin somehow inspires a young man and helps him develop his intuition, but primarily all the sharp svaras and shas are found in Nezikin. It sharpens a person's intellect. If one wants to develop intellectual acuity, if one wants to develop the ability to think straight, to think glatt, so that exactly is found dafka in Nezikin. Generally, we know that it's not just Nezikin, it's Nezikin and Noshim. I'm talking about the three babas. I don't mean the three grandmothers, but I mean Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, Baba Basra. And also in Noshim, Maseches Kedushin, Maseches Gittin, Maseches Ktubis. These are the Masechtas of Noshim and Nezikin that have in it really so much charisma. They are so saturated. They are moly v'godush. They are the, essentially, one could say, the bread and butter of Kol HaShas, Noshim Nezikin. So this is what Rav Soloveitchik told his cousin, Hagoyna Moshe Feinstein Zatzal, that somehow those Masechtas and Nezikin create emotional and intellectual inspiration. That's the strongest Seder. It has beautiful qualities. And as a result, Rav Soloveitchik said, that we know that many of the great Svarim were written about Nezikin, the ones that are probably most well known to you, I imagine you've heard of them, the Ktzeis HaChoshen, the Nesivus HaMishpat, they're written on Choshen HaMishpat, and primarily concerned with Nezikin. Those are classic Svarim. And the Ktzeis HaChoshen wrote another Sefer on Kedushin, the Avnei Miluim, another classic Sefer. So here we have these two Svarim, Nezikin ben Noshim, but primarily Nezikin. And this is what Rav Soloveitchik thought was the main reason why young children begin the study of Gemara with Nezikin, to sharpen their minds, to give them the ability to develop the koach hasvara, the ability to articulate ideas in a proper kind of way, to learn how to think properly, critical analysis. That comes primarily from Seder Nezikin. Hagoyna Moshe Feinstein Zatzal begged to differ with his cousin, and he suggested, no, there's another reason. And after he expressed his position, Rav Soloveitchik was masking to him. What did Rav Moshe Feinstein suggest? What is Nezikin all about? Nezikin essentially is designed to develop and to nurture an individual to have respect for other people's property, to have their cheres for someone else's property, to have their cheres for someone else's personality. In general, to have their cheres for other people. One has to develop the proper guidelines, how to deal, how to interact with other individuals. And often there are many, many squabbles, financial squabbles, relating to people's property and relating to all kinds of conflicts that exist between one person and another. So one studies Nezikin in order to know what the Gdarim are. What are the parameters? How do we resolve issues? Essentially, Choshen Mishpat. That's what it's all about. And therefore, we're trying to develop really very clear Gdarim, clear guidelines when we interact with other Jews, we interact with other human beings, and there's Machlokes, how to resolve those issues. So we have to learn how to think properly, and of course, as you can imagine, whenever there's machlokes, there are negiyas. We are nogia b'davar. We have a bias. And generally the bias is in my direction. and your biases in your direction. So now the question is how to overcome those biases and how to try to develop clear thinking and clear approaches that one would not be able to do so without studying the Zikin very carefully. And the reason, said Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, that I believe this is the basis for studying the Zikin, is because the Gemara says, Torah, Tchilasa Gemilas Chasodim, V'Seifa Gemilas Chasodim. What is the essence of Torah ultimately? Chesed. The Torah begins with Chesed, the Torah ends with Chesed. How does the Torah begin with Chesed? The Pasuk says in Bereishis that when Adam and Chava realized that they were without Begodim, so the Torah says, after the Chet, Vayas Hashem Elokim, La'adam Elishto, Kosnos Or, Vayal Bishem. Hashem gave them Begodim, gave them clothing, gave them apparel, in order that they should be able to maintain their dignity as human beings. That's the beginning. And at the end, we know that Hashem Yisbarach himself was responsible for burying Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayikbar also Vagai Be'eretz Moav. Hashem himself was involved in the Kura. And of course, since it was a divine act, V'lo yoda ishes kvuraso ad hayom hazeh. No one knows that Moshe Rabbeinu is buried. Said Rav Moshe Feinstein, the entire Torah is founded upon the object is to develop a chesed personality, to become bali chesed, to become individuals who are concerned about other human beings. That should be the focus of our lives. And therefore, we study Nezikin in order to develop those midos of chesed. Rav Soloveitchik was absolutely overawed by this explanation, and he told this what he said over. He told his cousin, it's clear you are correct. Of course, the answer is both are correct. Undoubtedly, the idea of learning the Zikin is to develop a very strong understanding of boundaries, a very strong understanding of parameters, respecting other people's property, understanding that each person is a Tzelem Elokim and is worthy of their cheretz, but at the same time, studying the Zikin also helps develop the acuity of our minds, of our intellect, of our thinking. And that's why Rav Soloveitchik said all the classic svarim are written on the Zikin. I mentioned a moment ago, the Tzeis and the Sivis, many other svarim as well. The Rav pointed out something that's very well known, that the Tzeis HaChesed was a very poor individual. He simply was downtrodden in the sense that economically he almost had no parnasa. And during the winter months, he was compelled to study Torah in bed under his blankets. His house was freezing. He had no money for fuel, no money for heat. And yet he revolutionized the Seder of Nezikin. His Bar Plukta, if you will, the Nesivus HaMishpat, was a very wealthy person. He was the Rav of the city of Lisa. And he was someone who was capable of publishing Svarim without difficulty. And then the Tzeis was, of course, of a totally different nature. But these two Svarim are classic Svarim on the Seder of Nezikin. As a matter of fact, Rabbi Rav Soloveitchik said that his grandfather, Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik, Rabbi Chaim Briska, saw his strength also in a number of areas, namely Shtaros. That's one of his famous areas. One of the earliest shurim that Rabbi Soloveitchik said when it came to the shores of America is how do you go about and transfer a shtar from one person to another. The Gemara speaks about in Bava Basra and elsewhere, Osios Niknais Memesira. You can transfer words, letters. How do you do that? How do you go ahead and transfer a shtar or the koch of a shtar from A to B, from Reuben to Shimon? And Rav Chaim Briska saw his strength in the area of shtaros, in the area of Tumas Mes, in the areas of Olo, his Tuma and Tara. So then the Rav asked the following question. Is there a deeper rationale for the importance of Seder Nezikin? So if you look at Chumash, in the end of Parshas Yisro, the Torah has the following discussion. The Torah said that people saw the thunder, they saw the flames. They saw, they trembled, they stood from a distance. Rav Soloveitchik once commented on this pasuk, and this is something we mentioned in the past as well. Often people are impacted by something that they hear, maybe a shiur that they hear, maybe an inspiring drasha, so you would think it should change their lives. They should immediately take from the drasha, such as the one that was given by one of the outstanding Ramim this morning in our yeshiva, Rav Nasser Rich Shlita. a very beautiful drasha, absolutely captivating and riveting, at least to my mind. And in terms of grabbing the urgency of the moment and literally capitalizing on it. So often people hear drushes and they're inspired, and a moment or two later, the whole thing fizzles. The Rav used to quote from the Kotzka, and this pasuk over here at the end of Yisro, Vayara Avayanu, they shuckle, Vayamnu Merachok. At the end of the day, it had no impact on them whatsoever. Vayamnu Merachok. Ziyad Keshokol, or Ziyad Keshanu from the Vikings. The Rav said it in Yiddish. They shuckled means they were moving at a rapid pace, but it didn't really impact them. The Torah goes on to say, they asked Moshe Rabbeinu, Daber Atoy Imanu Menishmol, you speak to us. Vayidaber Imanu Elokim Pen Nomos, they were frightened of Hashem Yisbarach speaking to them. And then the Torah goes on to tell us, at the end of the Parsha of Yisro, Hashem instructed them that we should not become involved in any kinds of gods of silver and gods of gold. Mizbach Adoma Tasali, we should construct an altar. We should go ahead and slaughter our korbanos. Whenever Hashem's name is mentioned, so there the Torah says, I'll come to you, I'll bless you. And the Torah also has several other very famous instructions, namely, don't construct a mizbeach out of metal, because metal associated with war, with milchama, with bloodshed, and then we should be careful regarding inyanei tznius, modesty. Namely, when one ascends the mizbeach, one should not uncover parts of the body that have to be completely mechuseh. So what's fascinating is that following the Aseres HaDibros, one would have thought that the Torah should immediately have proceeded with Perech Abdalid of Parshas Mishpatim, the end of this week's Parsha Mishpatim, which has in it a covenant, it has in it a bris that Hashem seals with Klal Yisrael. And we spoke about this bris actually yesterday, Machlokes between Rashi and the Ramban, and two different positions that are expressed by the Mechilta, but that would have been the transitional element that should have followed upon the Aseres HaDibros. Aseres HaDibros is the end of Yisro. Following that, we should go to the end of Mishpatim, which also connected to Matan Torah, as Rashi comments. Instead, we have an interruption, a rather massive interruption, the whole Parsha Mishpatim, namely all the laws of Nezikim, the three Babas that I mentioned earlier, Baba Kama, Baba Tzia, Baba Basra, with all its detail. That seems to be a departure from what seems to be the strict narrative, what should have been. And after Parsha Mishpatim, as all of you know, we have the construction of the Mishkan. Truma deals with the mitzvah of Asur L'Migdash v'Shachanti B'Socham. Tetzaveh deals with Big Day Kahuna. And only after that, in Kisisa, if you recall, we return to the story of the Matan Torah with the episode of the Cheder Egel, of the Golden Calf. Now, the construction of the Mishkan was clearly a required step towards the fulfillment of a promise that Hashem made at the very beginning of Shmos in Perek Gimel. When Moshe Rabbeinu was deputized to take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, so Hashem told him, "Botziach asami Mitzrayim, ta'abdu neselokim ala harazeh." It's in Perek Gimel, Pasuk Yud Beis. When you take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, ta'abdun, the way the Ran writes at the end of Psochim, ta'abdun nun, after 50 days, you'll worship Hashem on this mountain, namely Kabbalah Satorah, on Har Sinai. So that pasuk involves two different commandments. One is the revelation of Har Sinai, Matan Torah, and number two, the construction of the Mishkan. So that should have been the proper sequence. And instead, the Torah interrupts this entire narrative and decides to introduce Parsha Mishpatim. Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, Baba Basra. Why? Why did the Torah give Mishpatim such preference? So Rav Soloveitchik explained, and this is the yesod that's found in many, many mefarshim. Apparently, Parsha Mishpatim is literally indispensable in order to have a proper appreciation of the Aseres HaDibros. Without Parsha Mishpatim, there's no way that Klal Yisrael can become Mamleches Kohanim B'Goy Kadosh. In Perek Yutes of Yisro, that's the Hakdama to Kabbalah Satorah, that we spoke about in the past, there are mentions that we are, in effect, designated to become Mamlechus Kohanim V'Goy Gadosh, a kingdom, a priest, and a holy nation. And somehow Mishpatim is critical. Mishpatim is indispensable. It's a sine qua non. It's a tonight kodon l'maiseh in order that we should achieve those levels. All the fundamental principles of mitzvahs can be found here. And even though, as I mentioned before, there are three parshiyos sach hakol that essentially are saturated with many, many mitzvahs, namely parshas kedoshim and vayikra and parshas kisetze and dvarim as well. But somehow, if you look carefully, you'll notice that in kedoshim and kisetze, the Torah's focus is primarily on crime. The Torah does not focus so much on punishment. It's true. There are two parshas that deal with arayas and chumash, sexual immorality, illicit relationships. There are achremos and kedoshim. But there, the distinction between the two is that in achremos we have the crime, and kedoshim we also have the crime and the punishment. But other than that, other than the parsha of arayas, you'll see in parshas kedoshim, many, many mitzvahs are listed. If you have a chumash, you can actually even just look at it briefly from a very sketchy kind of standpoint. The Torah at the very beginning of Kedoshim, I'll just refer you to a number of psukim and perek yutes of Vayikra. First, it mentions the obligation to be Kadosh. And then it speaks about the din of fearing one's mother and father, observing Shabbos, not being involved in Avodah Zarah. The Torah speaks about the din of Pigul, which is a machshava, that a person has an inappropriate machshava regarding a karbon, that one is going to connect the karbon not to the right period of time. Shalom is manu, shalom is komo. The Torah then speaks about matasaniyim. The Torah then talks about a whole slew of averas that are very well known, not speaking lashon hara, lo samal adam reecha, and on and on. The Torah continues the concept of orla, and the Torah speaks about ohna, a whole list, molech. So kedoshim, essentially what you have is a lot of crimes that one should be careful not to commit. And in a similar vein, if you look in Parshas Ki Tzeitzi and Dvarim, you'll see also a rather lengthy litany of different averos, different lavim that the Torah has told us about. But the focus is more on the avera itself as opposed to the punishment. That's both in Kedoshim and Kiseitse. As I said, in Kedoshim, with the exception of Arayas, where the punishments are mentioned, but the most of the Pasha doesn't have that. In a similar vein, Kiseitse has many, many halachas, such a wide range, such a variety, such a potpourri of halachas, the Pasha, the very beginning of Yifas Toar, and then the Torah speaks about Dinim of Bchor, the Dinim Ben Soru Umore, Hashavas Aveda, the Torah speaks about Kli Geber, the dinim of Kansipor, the mitzvah of Tzitzis, and on and on. Primarily there, we're talking about different averos. If you look at Mishpatim, this week's parsha, you'll notice that Mishpatim is strikingly different. The Torah speaks, for example, when it addresses one of the major issues, of course, of the parsha of Mishpatim, the Dalet Shomrim. And we know there are many, many halachas that are involved in the Dalet Shomrim. We're familiar with many of them. And here the Torah describes the punishments. A person who steals and a person who's involved in Tzvicha Mechira has to pay Dal Vehei, 4 and 5 times the amount. And on the Torah speaks about the Dal Chomrin and speaks about, again, Mefate and other Averas and tells you what the punishment is. So Pasha Mishpatim is not only a description of laws between human beings and a moral code, it lays out an entire framework of civil relationships. So why should the Torah care, asked the Rav Soloveitchik, about a shomer, whether he's paid or he's not paid, is he a shomer chinam, is he a shomer sochar? We understand that in Parshas Kedoshim, the Torah says, lo sedech rochel ba'mecha, you're not allowed to tailbear, to say lashon hara, and you're not allowed to engage in thievery. So that is, of course, of a moral nature. Parshas Mishpatim discusses halachas that relate to kinyonim, halachas that relate to chazokah, halachas that relate to shtar. So what is the connection between those monetary issues and a moral code? It would seem there's no connection. They're purely juridic, judicial in nature, choshem mishpat connected. So of course the maskana is fairly obvious that on the contrary, Civil laws carry tremendous religious significance. Destruction of property and trespassing are not simply violations of civil law, but moral transgressions. So I'll let you explain, let's say on Yom Kippur, I studied the Avodah of Yom Kippur, or Rosh Hashanah, I studied the Dinim of Shofar, so there's no question that I'm fulfilling a mitzvah of Talmud Torah in Yom Idioma. It's relevant to the theme of that day, to the Kedusha Sayom. However, is there any Isur in studying Bava Kama on Yom Kippur? Is there any Isur in studying Bava Basra and Rosh Hashanah? Of course not. It's just as exalting. If I study Perek Ches HaSabbatim and talk about Cheska Shaloshonim, squatters' rights, and I do it on Yom Kippur, or I study Shnayim Echsim Betalas on Rosh Hashanah. So even though it's not in Yonid Yoma, it's obviously not connected to the Gdush Sayyam of Yom Kippur Rosh Hashanah, it fulfills the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So Pashut Mishpati was introduced, said Rav Soloveitchik, at this particular point in the Torah, not only because of the importance of the civil code alone, but rather the Torah wants to show that these civil laws are in effect religious laws, moral laws. And that's why Dafka Mishpatim is placed, the beginning of it, between Yisro, which deals with Matan Torah, and the other Mishpatim that also deals with Matan Torah, and Dafka Mishpatim, Baal Kama, Baal Tzir, Baal Basra, is placed betwixt and between. Asaleji told over a story of a Gera Chassid in Warsaw, in Poland. Rav Moshe Pilewski, this Chassid, Gera Chassid, was a great admirer of his grandfather, Rav Chaim Briska, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. So Rav Pilewski told Rav Soloveitchik that once he was building his sukkah and he was singing and he was dancing, he was in Rikudin in the course of building his sukkah at Getanz. He was dancing, he was very excited, he was Moli Simcha in the course of building his sukkah. So someone came over to him, a bystander, and said, Rav Moshe, what are you getting all excited? You're putting up four walls, you're putting up some evergreen branches as schach on the roof of the sukkah. So he answered, you don't understand. Why did this act of building a sukkah excite me so much? It was not simply an act of construction, building a sukkah. There was much more than that. It was connecting to Hashem Yisbarach, as only Chassidim probably know how to do. So Rav Soloveitchik said, when he studies Seder Nezikin, or Pasha Mishpatim, with all of its detail, with all of its minutia, so it may be a technical kind of structure, but for him, it connects him to Hashem Yisbarach. It's the svaras of the Almighty. It's infused with meaning, with moral stature. That's Seder Nezikim. And that's Seder Nezikim, how to think properly and how to connect to Hashem with svaras that are glatt, that are straight, that are not warped, that are not distorted. That's something which is a very integral part of what Torah is all about. In the Hakdama to Aseres HaDibros, in Perek Yutes of Parshas Yisro, Sukim Hei and Vav, the Torah says, I mentioned it a few moments ago. V'yatem shemua tishmu b'koli, u'shmatem es brisi, we spoke about this a short while ago. V'yisem li segula mikol amim, ki li kol aretz. V'yatem tiuli mamlechus kohanim b'goy kadosh. So Hashem, in effect, promised us that we'll be zochet to divine revelation, and the entire Har Sinai drama was miraculous in nature. However, the concept of Habdallah, of our being different than the Umas HaElam, that we say every morning, Shalo Yasani Goy, we are markedly different than the Umas HaElam, the nations of the world. We are a totally different zan, a different genre of species. Asalaji said over for one of the Magidim, the Magid of Kelm, he said that the Melchemes Gog u'Magog, you're probably somewhat familiar with it if you study Tanakh, and you see in Chazal, the ultimate war, Armageddon, as they call it. Gog u'Magog. So the Magid was a darshan. He said that it has Yiddish homiletic significance. Gog is a ganav and a gazlan. What is Gog? Ganav, a play on the word Gog, a ganav and a gazlan. Magog is mer a ganav and mer a gazlan. I'll translate it to English. Gog is a ganav, a thief, and a gazlan, a bandit. Magog, more of a ganav, more of a gazlan. So I'll let you explain that there are two separate promises. First, Hashem said, Ki li ha'aretz, the entire world is mine. And we know that Ribbono Shel Olam is the Baal HaBayit of the entire world. We say actually in Tehillim, Lashem Haaretz Umloa Tevil VeYoshriva. Everything belongs to Hashem. Ki Al Yamim Yisodo Yam LaHaaretz Yigano Now, because He created it. He's responsible. Uman Koni B'Sher Achli, the Gemara says that an Uman, a craftsman, by virtue of his craftsmanship, by virtue of his talent, he creates a kli, and the kli is his, and then he's mocked to the kli, the individual is going to purchase it. So here also, the Rebbeinu Shlom owns the entire world. He's the Baal HaBayis in the entire world. And even though it's true that the Rambam speaks of Chassid Umas HaOlam, there are individuals among the Umas HaOlam, nations of the world, who also have this recognition. And the divine revelation of Pashas Bereishis is given to non-Jews as well. That's why in Aseres HaDibros, the Rishonim point out, it doesn't say Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Barasi Shamayim Varetz. That's the famous comment of the Kuzari, of Rabbi Yehuda Levi, because that would be specifically related not just to Jewish people, but to all the entire world. It's a universal kind of Bereishis, Berea. Mashenkin Hashem said Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Tzitzicha Be'eretz Mitzrayim, because that was specifically for Klal Yisrael, the Atem Tiyul, the Mamachas Kohen, the Begoy Kodosh. That second promise is an apocalyptic divine revelation. We were chosen among all the nations. Ramban writes that the history of Klal Yisrael is different than the Umos HaOlam. The Umos HaOlam are guided by Mazolos, constellations, the zodiac, all types of different forces. But that's not the situation of Klal Yisrael. Namely, ain't mazal to Yisrael. We're not subject to mazalos. We're not governed by mazalos, by the zodiac, by constellation. We are directed by Hashem Yisbarach himself. So the recurring warnings in Parshas Yisrael that the Torah has many, many times before Matan Torah, namely, not to go here, not to go past that point. Everything's delineated, and it's repeated to Moshe Rabbeinu a number of times, many fences, many boundaries, reflect, on the one hand, a certain universal revelation. The majestic description of that revelation at the climax of Mishpatim reflects Hashem's personal relationship with Klal Yisrael. So here we have a Pasha Mishpatim that has, as I mentioned, primarily Nezikin, which is critical. It's not just civil, but it's also moral. It also connects us to the Svara of Hashem Yisbarach. That's what Chaim Elojin writes in Nefesh HaChayim. These svaras that are found in the Zikin are svaras of Hashem Yisbarach. At the end of the Pasha, there's another striking passage in Mishpatim. Vayal Moshe ve'Aaron, Nodav ve'Avihu, v'shivim mizikne Yisrael. Moshe, Aaron, Nodav ve'Avihu, and 70 of the Zikinim ascend. Vayiru es Elokei Yisrael. Very difficult Pasha, which is hard to understand what exactly is happening over there. They saw the God of Israel, Pesachas Raglov, beneath his feet, Ki'ilu, Kemaisei Livnas HaSapir, like the likeness of sapphire brickwork, Uki'etzim HaShamayim LaTorah, like the essence of heaven and purity. V'yelatzilei b'nei Yisrael lo shalach yado, against the great man of Klal Yisrael, Hashem did not stretch out his hand. V'yechzu es Elokim v'yochlu v'yishtu, they gazed at Hashem, and yet they ate and drank. So in Hashem's revelation to Klal Yisrael, the boundaries are abolished. One can actually reach out to infinity. And this is the significance of Parshas Mishpatim. I mentioned earlier, Rashi and the Rabban have a machlokes at the end of Mishpatim. There's an argument in the Mechilta. That bris that the Torah describes at the end of Mishpatim, did it take place before Matan Torah? Did it take place after Matan Torah? That's a machlokes tanoim, also machlokes Rashi and Ramban. Apparently, there's a need for two kinds of divine revelation. One in Yisrael, one in Mishpatim, which reflects a dual revelation. The one in Yisrael is Dafka V'Klal Yisrael and all the nations. And the one in Mishpatim is for the Jewish people alone. This idea, Mamechas Kohen and Begoy Kadosh, is the forerunner of the notion that every Jew should strive to be a Navi. All of us have the potential of becoming Nevi'im, of connecting with Hashem Yisbarach, of communicating with Hashem Yisbarach, of reaching a very, very high level of Dveikus. Every single Jew has that ability. And the ideal for each one of us is Dafka prophecy. Through Nevuah, you can merit that apocalyptic revelation that's meant exclusively for Klal Yisrael. Undoubtedly, the second kind of divine revelation will only realize in the Ikvisa the Meshicha in the Messianic era, that supernatural Gilu Shechinah, the goal of Pasha Mishpatim, with all of its detailed monetary laws, with all of the minutiae of the Zikim, of Baba Kam, Bamatia, and Babasa, if we are medaktek in obeying these laws, that will lead to Gilu Shechinah and a covenant with the prophetic spirit, and we will be able to become a Mamachas Kohanim and Goy Kadosh. Let me just end by referring to, from the perspective that I understood from Rav Soloveitchik, I came to the following maskana, and that's really, I believe, what Pasha Mishpatim is all about. One of the dinim mentioned in Mishpatim is in Kesef Tal Ve'Esami. You're probably familiar with that pasuk. The obligation, Rashi says, that we should lend others money if we are in a position where we have the wherewithal to do so, we should lend others money. Even though the pasuk says, Im Kesef Tal Ve'Esami, it's a chiv. It's an obligation. One of the ims in the Torah that is obligatory. And the Torah says the following language. Im Kesef Tal Ve'Esami, Es ha'ani imach. This is in Perek Chabez, Pasuk Chabdalit. What does it mean, Es ha'ani imach? What is the nature of that language? It should have said, Im kesef tal ve'es ami, Es ha'ani. You lend money to a poor person. What's ha'ani imach? Says Rashi. Heve mistakel ba'atzmecha ki ilu ata'ani. How would you like to be treated if you, God forbid, were an ani, were a poor person, an individual, an impoverished person, who unfortunately is not economically in the higher class? You would want them to treat you in a very proper way, appropriately. That's how you should treat others. And so too, the Torah mentions regarding a ger, one who's not allowed to oppress a convert, a proselyte, the ger lo silchatz. V'yatem yidatem es nevesh ager, ki gerim ha'yisem v'yaretz Mitzrayim. We ourselves were gerim in Egypt, and we know what a ger feels. We know that a ger can feel very lonely. A ger can feel that he has no family. He left his family, joined Klal Yisrael, no consanguinity, no connection. So because you understand that, you have to be exceptionally careful with a ger. Mishloshim mishishim mekomos, Chazal saying, 36 places, his hero Torah, Alonu Asager. And right after that, the Torah goes on to describe Shemitah. Mishay shonim tizra asatzecho, what's the connection between Shemitah and the idea of a ger lo silchatz? And why do we mention over there the din of being mafkin peros during the course of Shemitah, which you studied a bit in the fourth parak of Psachim, in Magam Shenagu, where the Torah says, v'achlu avyoni amecha b'yisum tochal chayas asodeh? Why is it not mentioned all the other dinim of Shemitah, namely not working on the karkan? There is an Isur, there are four Isur Daraisa. That's not mentioned. Apparently, the Torah wants to tell us, since you are Margish, you understand what it means to be a Ger, because you are Gerim in Egypt. But what about an Evyon? And the answer is, Shei Shonen Tizra Sarzecha V'yosafta Suwasa V'ashvi Yis Tishmetenu V'netashto V'yachlu Evyonei Amecha V'yisru Amtsei Chazal. All the other Jews who are not Evyonei Amecha, namely the rich people, all of them are equal when it comes to the Shemitah year. There's no distinction between poor people and wealthy people. Everyone goes down to be Malachi Peres in the Sadeh, like Evyonim. We have to understand, we have to be Margish, the other person. And that's obviously embedded in the mitzvah of Ve'ahavta Rechah Kamocha, that we have to see every other Jew as our dear friend, as Ve'ahavta Kamocha. We have to understand him, understand them. We have to, in effect, commiserate with them, be sympathetic to them, be sensitive to their sensibilities. That is the inyan of the entire Pasha Mishpatim. And one does that through Nezikin. By studying carefully Mishpatim and Nezikin, one comes to that maskana. Hillel, as you all know, said, the Gemara in Shabbos, Alamed Aleph, when they asked him, in terms of the ger that came, what is the entire Torah? The aloch sani, the chavrachol sabit. That which is hateful to you, don't do to somebody else. Zui kol haTorah kula. That's how a person has to see another Jew, every single other Jew. How would, in effect, you would like, if you were in a difficult situation, in a predicament, how you should be treated? That's how you should treat others. And that's very critical. I once heard from HaGoyim Rav Levinsohn Shlita a very beautiful idea. He said that there's a Mishnah Pirkei Avos that we're all familiar with. Have a done is called Adam B'Kaf Schus. You have to go and sometimes you see a person doing something which is not so looks like it's inappropriate behavior, and right away we're ready to condemn him. Right away we're ready to judge him. That's not what you should do. If a person is the average Jew who's a cheskas kashrus or a tzaddik, certainly it's aser to be done in the kapchova. You have to be done in the kaschus. So now the question is, since Hashem created everything for a reason, and this I had a conversation one with Hagoyin Rabbi Yochum Gerelik, the following conversation took place. Nothing that Hashem created was levatala for no reason. Everything has some reason. So now the question is, why is it that sometimes you encounter people who don't think straight, who don't have the ability to think in a glot kind of way? They have krumasvaras. Krumasvaras means their thinking is not glot, not straight. What's the point? So I've never told, and I heard this from Rav Grelick, the answer is because to be done the kapschus. Sometimes in order to be done the kapschus, you have to go ahead and distort your thinking. It cannot be glot thinking. Otherwise, you won't be able to find a tzatzchus because you look at what a person did, they smear. This person is clearly something that he did was absolutely unconscionable, ignominious, abominable, beyond belief, beyond reproach. No. We have to use sometimes svaras akumos, distorted svaras, in order to find the tzatzchus. So this is exactly what the entire Mishpatim is all about. Learning how to think properly, and that thinking properly, connecting through chesed with other Jews, being sensitive to other people's sensibilities, all this is mahu goymel chesed, afato goymel chesed. That's the Parsha Mishpatim, which the Torah has placed in between Yisrael, Matan Torah, and the other Mishpatim is also Matan Torah, but the bridge that connects all of this is Nezikim, Baba Kama, Baba Tzia, Baba Basa, Halabai. We should study them in great depth, know all the detail, all the minutia, and as a result of that, be able to be zorcha two Parshas Mishpatim to approach Hashem Yisbarach, and Be'ezah Hashem to be zorcha to Ashuas Hashchina, to be zochet to receive the Torah, b'shichlula, b'hidura, b'shleimusa, amen v'amen, l'netzach netzachim.
Amen.
Thank you, Shiva.
Okay, shikach to all of you. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful evening. Okay, Chana.
You finished?
I just finished.
Oh, so before, I was finished. You can come down.
I just finished. Well, I don't have anything to eat yet.
Okay, have yourself.
Okay.